Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today we have Father Joseph Mary. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have Father Joseph from EWTN. Thank you for being here, Father Joseph.
It's great to be with you, and I'm so happy that the book has now come to completion.
I can't believe it. This is such a dream, and it has been a year since the start to almost right now that it actually has happened. And God worked really fast with this one, Father. It was kind of shocking.
Yeah, you have some great a great lineup of women who've contributed to this book, and even a man, myself. And
even an unbelievable powerhouse priest like yourself. So before we get started, can you please lead us in a prayer?
Certainly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Father, we thank you for the gift of femininity and the great blessing that that is to family life and to all of our lives, the enrichment that it brings to us. We thank you for our spiritual mothers, for our Blessed Mother Mary, for Mother Angelica, and the sisters, for all women who are mothers, those who are single. And we ask your blessing upon them, help them to grow in your life and your love, and help us one day to be united with you forever in heaven. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that beautiful prayer. Now, your contribution is the chapter. And when I asked you to write about just anything, whatever it is that God put on your heart, Father, I was shocked when you came back with beauty tips. And it was awesome. Let me just say that right there. And I didn't expect that. And you were one of the first ones to get your chapter in. I couldn't believe how fast you turned that around, and boom, there it was. I remember, do you know, when I received your chapter, I actually had COVID and I was so sick in bed and I was having such a hard time. And your chapter came in and it was so uplifting and such an encouragement in such a hard time in our household. It was beautiful. I remember I cried. I'm going to be honest. I cried when I heard your chapter. And I am so excited for women to read this because it's not normal beauty tips, the surfacey, worldly beauty tips, obviously, ladies. Mm. We're talking about some really hardcore spiritual beauty tips all of us can really use. So, Father, can you please tell us what those are?
Yes, and it really comes out of my experience in counseling women in different states of their life. And I was thinking of a particular about a young woman that I had met, and she really wanted to get married. She wanted to have a family, and thanks be to God that did happen. And maybe my beauty tips helped her toward that end.
I believe it. I believe that.
Because I noticed, one of the things I noticed about her, she never smiled, or she didn't smile very much. And so I said to her, I'm going to give you a beauty tip here, a couple of beauty tips.
And
I said, right. I know it's going to help you, that it enhances every woman's beauty. And so I said, a smile and modesty and virtue. You know, the more that we grow in our love of God, and I use the example in this chapter, that the moon is most beautiful when it reflects fully, when it's a full moon reflecting the light of the sun. And so it is with us too. We are most beautiful when we reflect the light of God in ourselves, in our souls. The more we grow in virtue, the more attractive we are, if you will, because people are drawn to the light who is Christ. And the more that we can grow in that life of God, the more beautiful we really become, because he is the source of all beauty. He is beauty. So that's one of the transcendentals, which means one of the attributes of God is beauty, truth, and goodness. And those are the things that we should always pursue and that we want for ourselves too. We want to be formed in the truth. We want to access what is truly beautiful, which will draw us and lift us up to God. I think of sacred music. I think of beautiful art, but also beautiful family life and those sorts of things. And love, of course, is something that beautifies us.
You know, it's true that you are attracted to that holiness and that virtue when you do see it in someone, because it was that talk where that young gentleman got up that changed my entire life. And I recognize that virtue in him. And he was unashamed because he had God's mercy and love and that virtue you're talking about. And I wanted it so badly. And he was so honest, but he wasn't ashamed because God had forgiven him. And that's just one example for someone who is wondering, well, what does that even look like? That I was in such darkness, Father, and nobody could get me out of that pit. And trust me, my mother tried. Yeah. But his light pierced that darkness I was in, and it drew me out. And I went to confession and I started over. But if he didn't have that, it wouldn't have changed my life the way it did. So the way someone just lives in their testimony and living out of virtue really can be transformative to the people around them.
I remember Father Dubé, who was a great spiritual teacher on the spiritual life. He was a spiritual guide for many religious communities and had been programs on EWTN. And he talked about the encounter we have with people, and there was one that he never forgot. He was at a monastery, and there was one of the men who had lived for a time in the monastery and then got permission to live as a hermit. And he just happened to cross paths with him for just a minute or two early one morning, and he said it changed his life just because of the intimacy that this man had with God. That God was evident there, that he experienced the presence of God alive in this man. And he talked about how the impact that we will have on people, and if we have this union with God, there's something more. There's something more than just our own personalities there at work. It's our personalities, but elevated. And there's something of the divine alive in the soul that's united with God, that just has this impact. Like the Lord himself said, I'm the light of the world, he said, but he also said, you are the light of the world, and let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your heavenly Father.
And some people hear that and think, well, I can't be that. I can't be the light of God to the world. And they really doubt that because of maybe how they've lived or the sins that they carry, Father. What would you say to those people?
I just read a quote from St. Augustine. And of course, he had a difficult past or sinful past, which he was quite open about. But in his confessions, he said that he felt he just wanted to live a kind of a hermit kind of life, but he was called to the priesthood, and he was encouraged by the bishop of Hippo, of which he became eventually the bishop of Hippo, to be ordained to the priesthood. And he thought, no, my sin past is too sinful. But he said the grace of God encouraged him to say yes to that call. So every saint has a past, every sinner has a future, right?
That's right. And so, I quote that. Yes.
So God doesn't say, okay, once you're perfect, then come follow me. No, he says, come follow me and I'll make you perfect and I'll make you more perfect. So we look at him. We rely on his grace, not on ourselves, but on him. And so we can go forward, not because we have a perfect past, but because he's perfect and he's going to lead us. He's going to supply us with the grace we need and even sanctify us, as Mother Angelica said, through the scraps of our lives, you know, the things that we would like not to bring up or bring to the Lord, or things we'd rather remain hidden. Those very scraps will be the means that he will nourish us and sanctify us and help us to grow.
Absolutely. And for those of you that are just tuning in, we are talking with Father Joseph Mary, who is from EWTN, and he is one of the contributors in the new upcoming book, Women Made New: Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. And really, that's what this book is all about, is women being able to be unafraid and know that God does want to transform their life. And there is healing. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. All that matters now is where you go from here. And thank you for saying, Father, that it's not when you're perfect that the Heavenly Father is going to love you. And that's really a lie. And I used to believe that lie, but it really is in that mess that he wants us to invite him into that we're living, so he can right order it. Because one of the reasons I wrote this book, and I've said it on every interview I've had with all the different contributors, is the one question I want women to ask themselves, but really contemplate on: what is it that is keeping you from becoming the woman that God is calling you to be? And it's so hard for women to let go and to face things. And we're good at stuffing it. I heard someone say once, we stuff our stuff and we stuff it well and we put lipstick on it. We keep going. And I did that for so many years. But it was when I invited Jesus into those wounds and he gave me the courage to face them, is when I was really able to transform my life. And I feel like walk the walk that God was asking me to. And that's not always easy, is it, Father?
No, and Mother talks about that reality very much. You know, she said that biographers of the saints should go to purgatory for 40 years because they make the spiritual life seem unrealizable for us, you know. And she would talk about her own struggles, and that that's part of our sanctification, is that we choose to act like Jesus even when we don't feel like it necessarily. And she talked about her own struggles with her temper and how sometimes she thought, you know, I've made some progress here, and then something would happen that would set her off. But she said something I think is important. She said, I never got discouraged, but I would go to the Lord and I would say, here's Angelica again. And I would look at him with trust and ask him to help me to grow, to be better, to be more like him. And I think that's really the key, because we had a priest that was with the directing the friars for a while, and he used to say that the devil will give you anything that you want to advance in, but there's one thing that he keeps that he will not give you, and that is, you know, that he'll always use discouragement, because then he can get the rest back. So if you advanced in the other virtues, for example, all these different virtues, even humility and purity and kindness, and if you advanced in those, that's fine, because he can always use discouragement to get it all back. You know that you're going to dive back into what you were doing before.
Wow, that is so true, Father. You just gave me this like eye opener, because it's true. Because when I do advance, there's something that really, and it is discouragement. And you know what? The world is full of it right now. It is polluted with discouragement. So many people are depressed and just getting into that darkness, and they don't know where to turn. And it's so much. And even within the church, there's so much confusion when they come and they try to find that peace and rest. They're maybe finding a little bit more turmoil as well. What would you say to those people, Father?
The only reason the church still exists is because the risen Lord is present in his church. And I believe that with all my heart. It's not because we've always had perfect clergy or prelates or lay people, you know, that there have been always been scandals and confusion. And think about anti-popes and bad popes that we've had in our past history and different things, you know, in the history. And yet the church has survived. Why? Because the risen Lord is there. And I believe in a particular way, it's because he's present in the Mass, that that's the source and summit, that that's where our life comes from. I like something that Pope Benedict said about these early martyrs. This was in around 302, 303 AD, and Diocletian had forbidden the Christian practice. He had the scriptures burned. He had their places where they were gathering torn down, and they were forbidden to get together. But in North Africa, modern day Tunisia, they continued to get together. And so the soldiers came in one time when they were having the Mass, and we actually know the names of the people, some of the people that were there. There was a senator named Dativus. There was a virgin by the name of Victoria. And there was a reader, a lector, who was emeritus, and of course a priest. And they were asked, you know, why did you disobey the decree? And they said, in Latin, of course, the Romans were very astute as far as keeping accurate records on the legal cases. And he said, sine Domenico non possumus, without the Lord or the Lord's day, we can't live. And Pope Benedict said, in commenting on this, he said that for Christians, it's not just to remember something from the past or even hear commentaries about something in the past. That's not sufficient. We need an encounter with the risen Lord. We need to be able to access him, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens at the Mass. We meet the risen Lord in his word that's proclaimed to us in the Eucharist that we receive. That's what's held the church together for 2,000 years, and it will continue to. And it's not anything else. And so no matter what else is going on around us, we have that as our rock, our fortress, our consolation, our strength, our light, our joy, our peace.
That's right, Father. Absolutely. And you talk about that within this chapter of how powerful the Eucharist and the role that Jesus plays in our lives. And you also talk about how that truly is Jesus. He didn't go anywhere. He's still here with us day in, day out. And that was part of one of your beauty tips of being close to Jesus in the Eucharist. And it is so true. And some of the most beautiful women I think I've ever seen in my entire life are the cloister nuns, the ones behind the bars who day in, day out are there before our Lord. And they are magnificent. And there's just something about them. And it's untouched and untainted from this world. And because they get to be in front of Jesus every day. And I don't get, I try to go to daily Mass as much as I can with my eight kids, and people get sick and there's just always something, but I do my very best. But I really can tell the days that I don't go, it really kind of keeps those demons in check, honestly, that are coming after you in that vices and trying to keep you from that virtue. And it is so important to be Eucharistic. And what about those people that don't believe, that hear what we're saying, and they think of those family members maybe that don't have belief in the Eucharist whatsoever?
Well, I think they could be encouraged to try it. And, and okay, if you don't believe in it, just go into a Catholic church before the Blessed Sacrament. You know, there is a priest who's in the parish just 15 minutes from EWTN. His name is Father Graybean, and he told his story one time. He would come here to EWTN when Mother and the Sisters were still here, and he was a Baptist minister, and he's a great preacher. But he was feeling drawn to the Catholic faith, but he said there was one doctrine he just could not accept, and that was what Catholics believed about the Blessed Sacrament, about the Eucharist. So that was the obstacle. He thought it was just too radical a teaching. So he came to the chapel here. Mother and the Sisters were still here. They had adoration during the day. And he went into the chapel. He said, Lord, I have to know if what Catholics believe is true or not. And I'm not leaving till you tell me.
So, love it.
That's the kind of relationship he has with the Lord, you know, just this honesty. And he was there 1 hour and 2 hours. And then he just has this inspiration, open your Bible. So he opened his Bible. The first thing he reads, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And he said, okay, Lord. And he went to take instructions and eventually was encouraged to study for the priesthood and is a wonderful pastor. But it was a struggle for him until he encountered the Lord and he experienced that. So I think anyone who sincerely will seek the Lord and will just rest before the tabernacle will experience his presence, his peace.
And people don't always have to have the adoration and the Eucharist exposed. They can just go to their chapel or they could go to their church, their local Catholic church, and Jesus is there in the tabernacle and they can just pray before him there. And he'll listen, he'll hear them and give them all their worries and everything going on in their life that maybe is so heavy at times, but they still can go even if he's not exposed, correct?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And I like an analogy that a theology professor who was a friend of the friars gave once. And she said that when we go into a church where the tabernacle is there, it's closed, there's not adoration, then we're in the church and the Lord is present. He's the heart of the church. When there's exposition, it's like we're being brought into the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. When we receive Holy Communion, we become the tabernacle. And so there's like this intensification, if you will, of the experience of the Lord's presence. It can be from those different levels, but the Lord's always present, and a closed tabernacle is not going to hinder his work in your soul, of course.
Wow, that's beautiful. What was it like, Father, if you don't mind me asking you, to do your very first Mass?
Well, it was awesome, and I had been doing dry Masses, we call it, the last semester, just so I'd get make sure I did everything correctly and did it right. And I was actually ordained on a Friday, June 11th, because the bishop wanted to do the friars on Friday, and then he had four men he was ordaining on Saturday. So that Sunday was Corpus Christi.
Oh, wow.
So I really wanted my first Mass to be Corpus Christi. So what we did was that we had the Mass as the anticipated Mass Saturday night of Corpus Christi. And then the next day I had a televised Mass for the first time with...
Were you freaked out? Just be honest. Was that terrifying?
Not just the first time, but like the first 20 years. Yes.
Wow.
No. Wow. It took a while to get used to it. But
I can imagine. There's already pressure there being a priest. And then when that happens, it's just like, okay, here we go. There's no messing up here.
So I had a lot of quotes from Pope John Paul II, who was the Pope at that time, because I thought I can't go wrong there. And I can't find fault with me for his words.
That's right. That's right. That's great. Wow. Wow. What a blessing. Oh, that's wonderful. Because I can imagine having Jesus in your hands for the first time and consecrating him has really got to be something.
It really is. It really is. You know, on my 25th anniversary as a priest, I said, if people asked me what was the highlight of those 25 years, I would say honestly and sincerely, it's celebrating the Mass each day. That there's nothing, and I had the privilege to meet Pope John Paul, Mother Teresa, of course, work with Mother Angelica. Those are wonderful graces I will always be grateful for, and many other experiences in my priesthood. But the thing that most delights my soul is to be able to celebrate Mass, to receive the Lord, and to be with Him. And so that's a daily event. Thanks be to God. As a priest, you never have to worry about getting to Mass.
Yeah.
That's a blessing.
Absolutely. Oh, that's wonderful, Father. We are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back with Father Joseph. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we are discussing our new upcoming book published by EWTN called Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. And we are talking to one of the contributors today, Father Joseph. And he wrote a beautiful chapter, ladies, on beauty, if you can believe it. And he gave us all beauty tips, but really they're spiritual beauty tips and how to get closer to our Lord. And I remember, again, when I read this chapter for the first time, Father, it really touched my heart and I cried. And I've gone back and I read it again, and I read it right before we got on air. And It is going to help so many women. And I think it was important that it actually came from a priest and that spiritual authority. And I think that's going to help, because right now priests are so under attack. But At the same time, there are really good, holy priests out there that God gave to us as women to really help us and guide us and lead the way sometimes when there's such confusion.
You know, there's a homeschooling mother in Michigan, and she came across this statistic that most children spend 4 to 7 minutes outside and 7 hours in front of a screen.
Wow.
And she realized that that's not healthy. And so she started this movement of 1,000 hours outside, which is about 3 hours a day. Big challenge. And most families can't meet that. But getting outside, getting in contact with reality, not virtual reality.
That's right.
Is such a healing, helpful thing, because if you're spending 7 hours in front of a screen, then you're, especially for young women, they're showing anxiety, depression, those things, because you're always comparing yourselves. You're being told what you should be, how you should look, all of these things, which are just superficial things. And what really matters is, what's in your heart? You know, what's your heart like? That's where true beauty is in the heart. It's in that love that a woman uniquely can see the person, can identify with the person, can unite with the person. And there's a unique way in which the feminine can be a comfort, a gift, can help people to see their own dignity, and so on, that those are the gift, those are the true beautiful things that women should strive for.
You know, one of the beauty tips that you gave us was modesty, right? A smile, modesty, and the virtue, and those are gifts from God. But the modesty, it's also how we dress, what we're watching, right? How we talk, the places we go, it really encompasses a lifestyle almost, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I was just, I'm thankful I was able to do the Footsteps of St. Paul in Greece.
But that was so good. Good.
That was a wonderful trip. But I was saddened really to see just the fashions today, which are just terrible, you know, because it's like losing... Women are giving up their own dignity, you know, and just giving into the cultural demands, if you will, of the day, rather than living in a way in which the person is honored and communicated with. And I think so much of that has been lost today. And so it's a beautiful thing to see when women do embrace modesty, which really reveals the beauty of their inner person, who they are, their personalities, their character. And it's attractive. It really is attractive.
right? And they think it's not, they're not going to be attractive or they're not going to be desirable if they cover themselves up. But it's such a different way of looking at things. And also the different people you attract to you.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. Mm-hmm. And it matters. And I've experienced both sides of that fence. And and when you embrace virtue and modesty, it is a completely different type of person that is attracted to you when it's vice versa. And with the grace of God, and sometimes it can be hard with your fashion and what choices that a woman has. But at the same time, with the grace of God, it can be done. You know, it can be done. When you want to do something, it can. And if you're ever, ladies, my tip to you is if you're ever in the mirror and if you're thinking to yourself, is this too short? Is this too tight? Well, it is. You already answered that question. So go change. Yeah. You know, you don't leave the house.
Exactly.
Period. Exactly. Done and done. Mm-hmm. So one thing about this book and also just your chapter alone, Father, is Mother Angelica. I relate to her so much just because her background, and a lot of people don't know, she came from a divorced family. A lot of people don't know she lived in poverty when she was younger. And I struggle with my temper at times, and she struggles with her temper at times, and a lot of women do. And it can be hard, especially with those big families and always being challenged and pushed and pushed. But at the same time, it can be overcome. And Mother Angelica has shown us that. And just also that walk of faith that she had was unbelievable. And she always said yes to Jesus, no matter the cost or circumstance. And it is such inspiration for so many women. And I know it has inspired me to do so many things, and including this book. And you talk about that in your chapter. So what would you say, or can you speak to the background that Mother Angelica came from and how she overcame that?
Yeah, and how God would use that. You know, in the footsteps of St. Paul, we learned that he was from Tarsus, which was a Greek-speaking city. And he also learned from the greatest rabbi of the time, Gamaliel. So he knew the Old Testament very well from a renowned rabbi. He knew the Greek language. He knew Latin. He knew Hebrew. And you can see how God prepared him to be this great missionary to Greece, to be able to speak their language, to know their culture, and so on. And the same thing is in each of our lives, and Mother Angelica too. Why was it that she was such a good communicator? Is because she knew what it was like to grow up on the wrong side of the tracks, to have a broken family, to have a mother who struggled with mental issues, with depression, and to not have enough. You know, they shared a piece of bologna for dinner some nights. And so she knew what it was like, and she could communicate to people and understand their suffering. She said that she didn't always know what she was going to say when the red tally light came on the camera that she was on. But if she thought of that hurting, needy person and spoke to that person, she always had something to say. She had been there, and she had found strength in the Lord, and the Lord would strengthen them too.
I have listened to so many hours of Mother Angelica live shows and just doing dishes or doing laundry. And it is so true that her words really speaks directly to the heart and what a person is going through. And even the callers that would call in sometimes and how much that they were hurting, that she just spoke right to it. And a lot of the times you could relate to what she was saying. And those words were so healing, Father. It was unbelievable, the power and the impact that she had. And she just defended Jesus to the end. I mean, she defended Jesus at all costs. And I love that. And she was so unafraid in doing that. And she really is an inspiration to so many people out there. So you're right that she really is someone that we can look to, and that she came from this background and she overcame so many obstacles and she did great things for God. And that's what I want women to get out of this book, Father, is that it doesn't matter where you've come from or what you're suffering, that God can and wants to do great things with you as well.
Yeah, you know, when Mother Angelica was around, there was always laughter going on because she had this great sense of humor. She wouldn't take herself too seriously or others seriously, that she could understand. the foibles of the human condition, but she had this profound love for the Lord that she didn't even know when she was a teenager whether God existed, whether he cared. And then she experiences this healing, and she realizes that he does know her, that he does love her. And like the rest of her life is just this burning desire to love him more and to make his love known. And that's why she did all of these things that she did. She had the passion of a bride, as I said at her her funeral mass, that's how we can understand Mother Angelica. It's not that she had some political agenda, that she had some agenda for the church. It was that she had this love of the Lord Jesus to make him known and loved and respected, to make reparation when he was offended, because she knew that love.
Yes. And you can see it in her actions, and you can hear it in her words. And she absolutely loved our Lord. And it was, it's just beautiful. And I think it ignites a love in other people as well. And just like courage is contagious, also the way you see Mother Angelica love Jesus, it makes you want to love him so much more. And then it could be done even with your own faults or even with your own vices, that he can help you overcome that. And we see that in Mother Angelica, because I relate to her background so much and different things that she struggled with. And it's beautiful. And I remember watching her father when I was a little girl. My mother had her on in the background. So I kind of grew up with Mother Angelica and the TV in the background, because my mother was a single mom. And I remember she used to turn on EWTN to really help her find that encouragement in her own life. Again, we are talking with Father Joseph about the book Woman Made New: Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. How old were you when you first started working with Mother Angelica? Because I saw a picture online, Father, and you look so young, and you're next to Mother Angelica and Father Mark. How old were you when you started working there?
A long time ago. Yes, so I was 26, and I had worked in the medical field as an engineer and installing, repairing CAT scanners, X-ray equipment in Iowa, which is where I'm from, and came across this nun on television who was having technical problems. And so she said, if you're an engineer and you want to come help us, come help us. So I wrote to her, and at the age of 26, I trekked down to Alabama, and I would stay for a year. And that was, what was that, 37 years ago? Anyway, it was a long time ago.
Oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. Really? That's how all of that happened?
That was 1985. Yes, I came. And at that time, the network had 25 employees. We were on the air 4 hours a day. And it was just a little mom-and-pop operation. And sort of watch it grow over these years. There's always been expansion, growth, construction. And now that the network reaches the whole world in multiple languages, it's really been a remarkable adventure, and something that has strengthened my faith, too, to see God's providence and to see his work.
I can't believe it, Father. I'm in shock right now. I am. I can't believe that's how you came to the network. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's I was kind of searching at the time. I had a sense that I was being called by God, but I didn't know what that was. And I thought, well, if I work for a Catholic organization as a volunteer for a year, maybe I'll figure out what I'm supposed to do. And 1 year turned into 2 years because through God's providence, Mother got a lot of new equipment that had sat in storage in California. A man had tried to start a Catholic TV station out there. It never got off the ground, but he had bought the best equipment money could buy. So Mother finds out about it, and she gets it for a small percentage of the original cost. And they said, will you stay another year to help install it? And I said, okay, stay another year. And after 2 years, Mother began our men's community to be the spiritual support for the network, because she realized, although the nuns were involved in the early days, that their life was prayer and to live their life of interceding for the network, where this new community would be the spiritual support for the employees and so on.
Wow. I'm still in shock. That's how that all happened, Father. A lot of people don't know that. That's beautiful. And it was all just listening to those little inspirations, right, in your heart that you knew God was calling you in some way, shape, or form. And I said this on a different show, and I'm going to say it again today, is that I heard this pastor talking about the little whispers in our heart from Jesus, right? And that you don't whisper to anybody on the street, that you whisper to your husband or your children, because whispering almost is an intimate thing, that you just don't get someone off the street and you just whisper to them. No, that would be weird. And that wouldn't be right. It would be off.
Right.
But you whisper to those that are close and intimate to with you. And the same thing goes with Jesus and goes with our Lord, is that he whispers to us and he loves us and he knows us on that intimate level, and he wants to draw us in and close to him. And when I heard the pastor say that, it really touched my heart. And I thought that was such a beautiful explanation of those little whispers that we hear, and that when we follow, it really can change the course of our entire life, right?
Yes. And there was a holy mystic lady. Her name was Anna Marie Schmidt. She was in a salt mine in Siberia for a time. And she had these mystical gifts, and she said one time that he never shouts over other voices. So that's why we need silence, right? So that we can hear those whisperings, that he's a perfect gentleman. He doesn't shout over other voices. But it's if we open our hearts in silence, like I said, going to a church where the Blessed Sacrament's reserved, just sitting there in silence, we will hear those whisperings. We'll be aware of his love, of his embrace, of his support, his encouragement. We'll be given light for the next step on our journey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, today is Saturday, Father, and it is so much easier to hear the voice of God, at least from my own experience, if you go to confession, right? And you kind of unclog all of that nonsense that you have going on or that you're holding on to. Can you just speak to those people that know they have to go to confession, but maybe they're scared or they hold back or they kind of just let their fear keep them from there? What would you say to those people?
It's a healing sacrament. And so why not accept the embrace of the Lord? You know, accept his healing. It's a healing sacrament that heals us in the depths of our heart, our being, in a way that nothing else can. The best psychological advice can be helpful. Many different things can be helpful, but nothing reaches the depths of our soul to bring that healing, that integrity, that peace that we are seeking than the confessional if we're in sin. And it's like, lifts that burden, because sin is always a burden. It's always something heavy on our hearts. And when we feel that lifted, we feel like we're found again, like we're restored. Pope John Paul said that we don't feel belittled by that, but we feel found again. We feel, you know, embraced. That's what mercy does.
It's so true, Father. You do. And also that burden of that shame and that freedom that you feel once that is gone. And I know that feeling. I've experienced it. And there is such a freedom in that. And it's beautiful. And Jesus wants everyone to have that. That's not just for a chosen few. That's for everybody. So for those of you that can make it to confession this afternoon, most Catholic parishes are open and have confession today. And you can go to bed at peace and being right with God. So, Father, before we wrap things up, I would like to ask you, can you please tell me your favorite Mother Angelica story that you have?
There's so many of them. And
I'm sure Mother Angelica was a riot. I'm sure it was amazing. But you have to have maybe one story that you know that you're just like, oh, this is great.
Well, I'll tell you one that I often tell about when Mother and the sisters were still here. And there was a father with his young son whose name was Ignatius. And so I happened to meet them at the chapel where the televised mass is. They had just walked in the outside door. And he said, hello. He said, this is Ignatius. And we just came here in Thanksgiving because we were childless. And so we came and asked Mother to pray with us. And she prayed with us. And so this is Ignatius. And we now have five children. So we've come to ask them to stop praying. Of course, he was joking. He's delighted with all of his children. They were known for that. Mother said, there's some reason. We just seem to be known for helping infertile couples. And there's actually, I can think of a couple couples here that work at the network who are childless. And Mother and the sisters prayed for them. And they now have children. So, wow. They're fruitful in a different way, you know, through their prayers. And I think that's what it points to. Although they didn't have their own physical children, that there's a way in which they've helped souls, of course, through their prayers, but even helped infertile couples to have children.
Wow. Wow. Yes. There's something to be said about that spiritual motherhood. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Even if you do have children, you still can have that spiritual motherhood and pray for people and pray for priests as well. Now, can you tell people that maybe are not familiar about EWTN and what they have to offer? Because a lot of people don't know. And that's another reason I wanted to put this book together and all the different contributors. And I bring all of the different ministries that are out there because the new women that are joining the Catholic Church, I want them to know all these beautiful ministries that are right at their fingertips. And EWTN is a huge one.
I benefit from the network almost every day. I'll watch or listen to something. Because we need to feed our souls every day, that we feed our bodies, and we also need to feed our souls, and they need good nourishment. And thanks be to God over these years. You know, when Mother Angelica started, there wasn't much Catholic programming out there except what they would produce here. And so they had a Chinese cooking show. They had these old black and white Westerns. They had these movies that they would run over and over and over again on Saturday. But as they produced more programming, and I remember we were going to be going from 4 hours to 6 hours. Okay, that's a gentle transition. But then Mother said, September 1987, we're going to go 24 hours a day, and we're going to cover Pope John Paul II's pastoral visit to the United States.
Wow.
All right, Mother. So I was still working in engineering, and so we had our work cut out for us. But one of the employees said, well, Mother, how are we going to cover all those hours? You know, we're only got 4 or 6 hours right now. She said, well, we'll have to repeat some at first, but gradually we'll build up. And I think that's the key, you know, that she would just continue to improve things. You start out and it continues to grow, develop. And what a wonderful plethora, really, of things from your program and Jason's programs that you've done for young people, the Pure Life, to marriage and family life with Jim and Joy, to scripture and tradition. If you want to deep more deeply into the scriptures and teachings of the church, Father Mitch is just this wonderful scholar we have right here that you can learn so much. I still do, you know, and the journey home, people's personal experiences, how they came into the church. There's just such a plethora. And now that people are producing things outside the network too, we're getting some wonderful quality programs that we're airing as well.
Welcome to Women Absolutely. Made New. And I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. And their today we have and Father Joseph Mary. Jesus, so without further ado, let's get right into it. And there's an app that people can download. There's daily mass, rosary. And really, at this point, there's no excuse to dive deeper into your faith because it's right there in the palm of your hand. Right, Father?
Exactly. And we have the televised mass. We really made some wonderful improvements. I wanted to improve the sacred music, and so we have a wonderful choir, which will put you in touch with a lot of the riches of our music tradition and polyphony and chant and all of those things. So every day to hear a homily on the scriptures, that's all available very easily on our app.
And you just came out with, which I went through and I loved it, is the program In His Sandals. Can you tell people about that before we go?
Sure. So in 1978, so this is before the network even existed, Mother Angelica had made some programs. Three of them, they were like Little Retreat, In His Sandals, and another three called The Hermitage. And so EWTN put those together in a book, these little teachings. And then I actually did a book study that's available where people can go through the chapters. It's a little book. It's a short book, but it's really packed with a lot of good spiritual insights that Mother has. So we recently did a book study that's available on that book.
And there's videos that actually go along with it, and you can download it at home. So you can go along in your own time and just maybe every night or once a week, you can go through this with Father on your computer, or on your phone with the book study in hand. It's wonderful. So I would highly encourage anyone out there to sign up for that and to do it. Thank you so much, Father Joseph, for being here with us here at Women Made New, and also for your contribution to this book that is going to be coming out. And thank you. I really appreciate it. And just know that you will be in my prayers.
Always a pleasure. God bless you, Kristalina.
God bless you, Father.
Jesus, how does he fit in your life? Let's take a walk. Maybe you'd like Jesus more in your life, but you're already busy and overwhelmed. Or maybe you're not sure he cares. It can be hard to see his love when times are tough. When we see so much evil in the world. No matter what you are going through, Jesus has already walked this road, and he wants to walk it with you. Will you let him? Hello, I'm Father Joseph Mary, chaplain at EWTN, and I invite you to join me for a free 6-part online book study on Mother Angelica's book, In His Sandals. The online videos and digital study guide will help you to spend time with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Get to know him better. Let him heal your wounds. And start living the life he wants for you. After signing up, you can watch the videos online at your own pace. The digital study guide provides additional resources for your further study and reflection. There are also questions for you to reflect upon and to help you just to sit and talk with the Lord, or to discuss together in a group.
I want to thank my guest again, Father Joseph Mary, for being here. And for those of you that would like to download the first chapter of Women Made New, you can go to womenmadenew.org. And if you would like to pre-order Women Made New, you can go to EWTNReligiousCatalog.com. Thank you for joining me. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Don't forget, there are confessions everywhere around the country right now, this afternoon, and there's nothing more important than being right with God, and it is never too late to start over. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, all that matters right now is where you go from here. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. God bless.